Morning with the readings before us and coming from our diocesan synod. I've been thinking a lot about mission and vision, and in particular vision today, in today's readings, it being explicit in two of the readings. And it seems to me that the revelation of Jesus Christ according to John, and that is the full sort of title of this book, that the most important thing about vision is that we'd have a clear vision of Jesus. That's our touchstone. I think of the Apostle Paul, who was knocked off his feet, if not his donkey, by a vision. And sometimes the vision is so robust that it is transforming in the moment, in the experience of it, as it was for the Apostle Paul. And it was a vision of Jesus. And so any talk about vision, I think, needs to be anchored in Jesus. The mission statement for our diocese, or sometimes called vision statement, is growing communities of faith in Jesus Christ to serve God's mission in the world. I'll just say that once again. Growing communities of faith in Jesus Christ to serve God's mission in the world. The heart of our mission statement, which is on our bulletin, is growth. St. Cuthbert is a place to grow. And as we grow, the focus rightly is to serve God's mission in the world. I believe that any vision is a vision of God's mission in the world. God is at work in the world, reconciling all creation to himself. If you believe that, which I do, and that God is working in us to will and to act according to his good pleasure, if that's his active work by the Spirit in us, then those two things should intersect, should they not? God's mission and what God has put in our hearts to do. It makes sense to me. So whenever we perceive God's mission, that we would serve that immediately, that we would change our plans, consult with one another very clearly, but then change everything to serve that mission as God reveals it. Would it be so easy, as it appears to be in the first reading from the book of Acts, that Paul had a night vision and he saw a man. He saw a man gesturing, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." It's like if you were praying and you saw someone from with a superstore sort of uniform on saying, "Come to the superstore and preach the gospel." You might go, "What?" But it's clear. And you could act on that. You could know where to go. "I'm going to go to the superstore. I'm going to preach the gospel. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I had this really clear vision." Well, how do we know it's just not, you know, pizza from the night before that hasn't settled with us very well, right? How do we know that a vision is actually from God? The Apostle Paul, when he had seen the vision, immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia. He acted on it immediately. He was convinced that God had called these followers of Jesus to bear witness. And so he tried to cross over. And I think that's informative for me. He tried. He stepped out in faith and he tried something. It reminds me of a couple that I've recently spoken to. They've recently bought their first townhouse, which is very exciting. And they had to go further out of the city than they had expected. Is that a story that's familiar? Before they could afford such a purchase. And they look back, and it was so heartening to hear them speak of God's guidance and direction within this process. And the first thing they said, and I wonder if vision and discerning vision isn't more like this, not to say that God could not give us a vision as he did the Apostle Paul. I believe that happens. I do. But this young couple told me that the basement suite that they were renting, which was adequate. I visited them there, and There was a great room in the basement. It was sort of the rec room of this house, and it was their front room in their basement suite. The owner informed them that he was dividing that room into two with a wall so that his brother-in-law could have a bedroom. And they went, oh. And they could have the smaller half. So this great room turned into a bowling alley, basically, with no window. And they said, although that was upsetting, it motivated them to start looking for a place. And so vision sometimes is born out of a cramp, something that hasn't gone right. It motivates us to rethink our situation. And they tried. They made offers on two houses. The offers were rejected. They were downcast. They had to regroup. They had to think, is this really something we can do? Can we afford this? Doesn't that sound like working out a vision to you? It's this dialogue. It's this reconsidering. It's this reframing. It's being knocked back sometimes, but moving forward. And they made an offer in an area where they never thought they'd live, way too far away from sort of everything. And yet, once they've settled in, they're so pleased and thrilled that God has led them and guided them and provided. They give glory to God. So I think vision is like that. Paul and his apostle and his followers, his group tried, and they moved on what they perceived to be God's leading, God's prompting, and they had a course from Troas to Samothrace to Neapolis to Philippi. And sometimes our vision, before it bears fruit, needs to have different stages. And so our vision committee is working through this. What does it mean, really, to talk about vision, a vision for St. Cuthbert? And all of us have input there, that's for sure, and we'll be welcoming your input as we present a little later in June at this service and at 10, with an opportunity to speak back and to talk back. We've had cottage meetings where we've gathered a lot of information, and we feel that we have discerned, really, the deep joy of St. Cuthbert, the community of St. Cuthbert. And that's a beautiful thing. And now, how do we discern where that deep joy intersects the world's greatest need? And that's, where is God's mission in the world being displayed and around us, and where can we join God in that mission? So God's, any vision I would suggest is a vision of Jesus and is a vision of this mission of God being worked out in the world. Any vision of that is then an invitation to join God in that mission. I hope I have that right. It feels right, but I submit that to you. Again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, according to John, our second reading, gives us this reminder that it's about the glory of God. If Jesus is not central, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, well then, it's probably not worthy of moving on. If it gives glory to God, yes. It seems to me that it needs to also be tempered in the third reading by this injunction to love, very clearly. If love is not furthered through any pursuit of any vision, then, of course, it's just noise. One thing that I've struggled with in our synod deliberations is this injunction to love others that are different from me, love others that are gay or lesbian or transgendered or questioning or queer. That's been a focus. Also, Indigenous people, what does it mean to love Métis, Inuit, and Aboriginal people? What's the role in the church to work toward reconciliation? These are big issues, are they not? They are. And to sit and being part of a decision-making body to try to weigh love of people, which very clearly we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, with love of God and love of God's word. If you love me, you will keep my word, Jesus said. And so many people struggle to say, you know what, I feel a conflict between what I perceive God's word to say and what these dear folk are asking. And there's this back and forth, and sometimes it's exhausting to try to work out this love of God and love of neighbor, love of God's word. Jesus very clearly said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And some say, well, because the Holy Spirit has been sent, we can even get beyond the written word. That the written word is not an idol to be worshipped. It's a living word. And I would say, yes, it is. But what does it mean to sort of get beyond the words? I struggle with that. I can't go there. I believe that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and that is a beautiful, profound promise, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So I struggle with this new revelation that some are very clearly claiming, that the Spirit is in this new move as we consider a new marriage canon, a change to the marriage canon. It's big stuff, theologically, traditionally, in every way. And some would say, well, let's catch up to the world around us. It's legal in Canada for people of the same gender to marry. So what's the problem? And, you know, we come back and try to get it right, loving our neighbor as ourselves, desiring to do God's will and love God as an expression of that, and claiming that it's in God's light that we see light. We seek this revelation of God. So how can we keep Jesus central? How can we be in step with the Spirit and try and move forward, perhaps make mistakes in trying to follow this vision and articulate a vision for St. Cuthbert at this time? And then how can we move in humility and grace as we are part of a wider church, a wider diocese, as we host General Synod this summer? Once every 3 years, it's going to be big news. And so as we read in the news and hear news broadcasts, let's consider what it means to be part of a church, the church of Jesus in this place, in this Diocese of New Westminster, in the Anglican Church of Canada. So I guess I'd just like to close with this reminder of our vision statement for the diocese, which I can wholeheartedly buy into and support: growing communities of faith in Jesus Christ to serve God's mission in the world.